Well, a blessed and wonderful Sabbath to each one of us. Welcome to our visitors here, as well as our regular members. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that will be listening to this afterwards, including those that are listening on WLMR, which is the Worldwide Light Ministries Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. And it is indeed a wonderful time to be alive. It is truly a marvelous time. And I pray that we may recognize the seriousness of the times as well and keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and not on ourselves or on others or on things that are taking place in this world, but to look up so that we may live. I have a couple announcements to make before we get into our service here. To let you know something exciting, we are now broadcasting our sermons over the internet radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And this internet radio has the potential of reaching millions of listeners. So praise God for allowing this to take place. And our internet radio station is called WLMR, which stands for Worldwide Light Ministries Radio. And the link for you to be able to connect and hear the messages that are preached there is found just below the main banner here of our home church. You'll see Worldwide Light Ministry Radio, or WLMR link. And if you click that, it will take you directly to the radio station on the internet where we're broadcasting. And then you'll be able to hear what message is being presented at that particular time. So it is indeed marvelous to see how the Lord is working. And it is indeed a privilege to be able to get His message out through this avenue in seeking to save the lost. And I ask you to please pray that God will bless this new avenue of outreach evangelism, that He will direct many listeners to come and learn more of the present truth gospel in Christ, and indeed find true and lasting salvation in Him. And I thank you for your prayers in this. The next announcement is that we have so far had two special guest speakers from among our home church group here come and deliver a talk during our Wednesday evening meetings. And all those who attended these services received a real blessing in listening to and contemplating the messages that were presented. And I just want to extend an invitation that if any of you here feel impressed to lead out in one of our Wednesday evening meetings and present a spiritual topic as a talk or a discussion, then please do so. Please contact me and we'll get you put into the schedule as soon as possible. And I tell you, dear ones, what better way to become familiar in being able to speak the truth before others, being able to witness Christ to all around you, than doing so before your own brothers and sisters in Christ? We're not going to laugh at you. We're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to pick apart your sermons or your talks or your discussions. We're there to listen and to help you become better qualified and able to share your faith intelligently with others. So please don't be afraid to lead out during our Wednesday evening meetings, dear ones. And please let us have more of our dear brothers and sisters come out and fellowship together on Wednesday evenings and truly gain a blessing by doing so and be a blessing to others. So I again encourage you to please do so. Now, our opening song for this meeting is entitled, We Gather Together. And the link for this song's lyrics is lightministries.com/ID817.htm. We gather together.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, were at our side, all glory be thine. We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Amen, brother, and thank you. And at this time, we have some special music to be brought before us and to encourage us with and to uplift our spirits by, and also some words of further encouragement. And so please go ahead.
Praise God and Sabbath blessings to you all. The song was laid on my heart by the Lord as I was in some reading and to bring today, and there's a reading from also the Spirit of Prophecy that the Lord would like to have shared before our dear brother brings the word that he has given him. So I just pray that it will be a blessing for you.
Holy ground, we're gathered on holy ground, for the Lord is here, and where he is holy. Holy ground, we're gathered on holy ground, for the Lord is here, and where he is holy. We are gathered on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Jesus now, for we are gathered in his presence, we are gathered in his presence, we are gathered in his presence on holy ground.
Now the reading that I have, that the Lord has given me and placed upon my heart to share, I pray that it, the words will fall where the Lord wants them to fall, and I know, even as I was reading them, that it was a great encouragement to me and a strengthening and challenge to me And I believe that in my heart, it will be a blessing as a prelude to whatever our dear brother from the Lord's mouth is bringing. And it comes from Selected Messages, Book 2. And it's really interesting because it comes from the chapter 27 entitled The Bereaved. So I'll begin reading from the one area that speaks of how God has not left you. Dear afflicted ones, so sadly bereaved, God has not left you to the sport of Satan's temptations. Let your sorrowful hearts be open to receive the words of consolation from your pitying Redeemer. Jesus loves you. Receive the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness and be comforted. Thank Him who has risen from the dead and who ever liveth to make intercession for you. Jesus Christ is a living Savior. He is not in Joseph's tomb. He is risen. He is risen. Rejoice, even in this your day of sorrow and bereavement, that you have a Savior who sympathizes with all your grief. He wept at the grave of Lazarus and identifies his sorrows with those of the sorrowing children. In all your conflicts, in all the trials and perplexities of life, seek counsel from God. The path of obedience to God is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Follow step after step in the path of duty. Steep places may have to be climbed, but go forward in the path of humility, of faith, and of self-denial, leaving the clouds of doubt behind you. Sorrow not in a hopeless way, for the living need your care and love. You have enlisted in the Lord's army. Be brave soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let words of penitence and grateful praise come up before God as sweet incense in His heavenly sanctuary. You may be disappointed, and your will and your way may be denied, but be assured that the Lord loves you. The furnace fire may kindle upon you, not for the purpose of destroying you, but to consume the dross, that you may come forth as gold 7 times purified. Bear in mind that God will give you songs in the night. Darkness may seem to enclose you, but you are not to look at the clouds. Beyond the darkest cloud, there is an ever-shining light. The Lord has light for every soul. Open the door of the heart to hope, peace, and joy. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." John 15, verse 11. God has a special work for everyone to do, and each one of us may do well the work which God has assigned him. The only thing we have to fear on our part is that we shall not keep our eyes continually fixed upon Jesus, that we shall not have an eye single to the glory of God, so that if we were called to lay down our armor and sleep in death, we might not be ready to give an account of our trust. Forget not for a moment that you are Christ's property, bought with an infinite price, and that you are to glorify Him in your spirit and in your body, which are His. Praise God and amen. So that's what the Lord had laid on my heart to share, and I pray that it was a true blessing and that we are encouraged and strengthened by it, by God's grace.
Amen. And thank you, brother, for those precious words. I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel before our God for opening prayer for this service. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being with us throughout this Sabbath day, and I pray that you will continue to be here, continue to lead and guide us, continue to open our eyes and understanding, and help us to truly see ourselves as you see us, so that we will recognize that there's nothing worthy in us to cling to. There's nothing precious in us to cling to. And that we need to set aside everything within us in order to be cleansed by the blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior, and cling to Him who is our hope of eternal life. Father, we also bring before Thy throne that You will please be with Sister Annie's beloved dog, that it will quickly recover from the heat stroke that it suffered and will come back to be its joy of that household. And Father, this is according to Your perfect will, and we thank You for doing so. We also pray that You will be with Brother Jonathan's injury to his knee, that it will soon be completely healed and will be just as good or even better than it was before the injury occurred. We also pray for our Worldwide Light Ministry Radio Internet station, that many people will be led to tune in and to come in contact with the present truth and truly find Jesus Christ as their salvation. We also pray for LaToya that she will continue to be open-minded and willing and eager to accept the truth regardless of the cost, and to have Your love fill her heart. And thank You for doing so. We also pray for Ben that he will follow the truth that he knows and will do so regardless of the consequences. And please also work upon the heart of his beloved wife that she will no longer oppose the truth or him for following it, but will study it for herself and allow it to convert her heart. We also pray for Rosalia and Andrew that You will be especially with them, continuing to comfort them, leading and guiding them into the truth so that they might become some of Your most avid followers and worshipers and spreaders of Your truth to others. And Father, we especially pray for our beloved sister Parma in this her great time of need. And we thank You so very much for preserving her life during the heart attacks that she recently suffered. And we pray, Father, that You will take control of the surgery as well as the recovery period, that she may completely and fully recover her health and again be able to work for Thee and to come in fellowship with us. And please, Father, let her especially rest in Your love and Your care for her. And thank You for doing so and allowing Your perfect will to be accomplished in this matter. We also pray for Brother Rich and his family, as well as all of our families, that each may have a full and abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts, so that truly Jesus Christ may reign in each one of our lives, and we all can indeed become like Him in character and truly find salvation. And Father, we also ask that You will especially be close to and will comfort the hearts of the Burns family, as well as the family of Morris, and any other family who are suffering under the recent loss of a dear loved one. Be with them and comfort them, and let them realize how short and fragile life is, so that they might look to Thee before it's too late, that they might accept Jesus as their Savior and truly be ready to meet Him in the clouds when He comes. Please be with us now. Help us to comprehend and understand the truths that are shared, and help us to study these for ourselves, that we might know indeed without a doubt that it is truth, and then allow it to change our lives. Thank You for answering these prayers. Thank You for being here with us now. And thank you for leading and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And this is part four of the Human Sanctuary and Temple of God, and we're dealing with the soul. For those that would like to follow along in the quotes that I'll be referring to as we continue on, the link is lightministries.com/SDA/ID1365.htm. Now, we learned last Sabbath that spiritual cleansing deals with our inner self, including our emotions, conscience, as well as all our motives and purposes for living. And we saw that the Bible uses different names to describe this inner self. It uses names such as inward man, spirit, soul, heart, reins, and other names. And we then understood that there is no separate consciousness or immortal life in our spirit or soul, as many believe, because we're just mortal beings. We're not immortal, and we don't have immortality in us naturally. We're just mortal beings. But any who truly desire to become immortal and to have eternal life can only find it by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior. And then you will be saved. We then discovered that our soul or spirit is powerful enough to control our mind, which then controls our body. So if we truly allow God to take the throne of control in our soul, then He will work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And at the same time, we are also to work in unison with Him in this cleansing of our spiritual life, thus making this whole process a joint partnership with God. We also found that in this cleansing process of our spirit, God only works in us with our consent. And this consent must be constant. So God only works in us with our constant mental consent and approval, but He will never work in us against our will. But if we instead allow Lucifer to take the throne of control in our soul, then Satan will work in us to do of his evil pleasure. And at the same time, we would be working in unison with him in this process of making our spiritual life more wicked and filthy, thus making this corruption process a joint partnership with him. But we also learned that in this process of making our soul more filthy, Satan initially works in us with our mental consent, but then he soon takes over and controls us against our will and without our constant approval. If this happens, then we would then become partially or totally possessed by Lucifer and would be unable to control ourselves or our actions. But even after such a horrifying condition as this occurs, Jesus is still willing to free us completely from Lucifer's control if we will just humbly ask Jesus to do so. We then understood last time that God is doing everything that He can to work with and in us to cleanse our soul so that we can be saved, because He knows and sees that probation is soon to close upon us. And at the same time, the devil is also doing everything that he can to work with and in us to corrupt our spirits so that we can be lost. because he realizes that his time is short. But neither God nor Lucifer can force you or me to follow either of them. They can't force us, because it is our free will choice to either be cleansed and be saved by God, or to be corrupted and lost by Lucifer. So we learned all of those things last time. So then, dear ones, since this cleansing of our inner self or spirit or soul is so vitally important for our salvation, then exactly how does this cleansing process begin in us? If you look at quote number 1 from Psalms 51, verses 6 to 12. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So how does it occur in us? By asking God to do so. And if we ask him, what's going to happen? In Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 29. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. So these verses show that you must first look to God and ask him to take control of your life. Take control of your heart and mind and soul, and do all these things for you, especially creating and placing within you a new and a right spirit. But now, once this process has begun in you through faith, is there anything that you have to do in this co-partnership with God in the cleansing of all your emotions, conscience, motives, and purposes for living which make up your soul? Is there anything that you need to do in this cleansing process? This is what we're going to investigate and discover today. If you look at quote number 2, from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 to 32. Therefore I will judge you, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. So these verses plainly show us that it is not just God who is doing all this cleansing work in our soul. and we just sort of sit back and go along for the ride. But we ourselves have a very important work to do in harmony and in unison with God in the cleansing of our soul. And what is this work that we have to do? In Romans chapter 6, verses 6 to 7, 11 to 14, and 16 to 22, we're told, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, or with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. So if sin doesn't have dominion over you because you've chosen to yield yourself unto God and to deny your past life of sins, then you will be enabled to cleanse your heart and perform righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You've been made free from sin, so then live without sinning. Continuing, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity in the past, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So in these verses, God is telling you and me that since he has made us free from sin through Jesus Christ, and we have now become the servants of righteousness, then we are not to allow sin to come back and reign in us. But we are to actively work in keeping all sin crucified and yield ourselves to do God's will so that we can indeed become righteous and holy. God also instructs us in Romans chapter 7, verses 5 to 6 and 22 to 25. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered. We should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So in these verses, God is telling you and me that since we have been delivered from sin and have had placed within us a new and a right spirit, then we are to actively work in keeping our fleshly urges and motions of sin under the control of our mind so that they will not in turn control our mind and then bring us into sin. So we're to actively work to keep our fleshly urges and motions of sin under the control of our mind so that we can serve God in keeping His law and no longer serve sin. And God further instructs you and me in Romans 8, verses 1 to 10 and 13 to 14. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, which means we can do the same. Christ condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in these verses, God is telling you and me that we are not just to sit back and relax in our newfound conversion, but we are to actively walk and live in harmony with the leading of the Holy Spirit, and to no longer live in harmony with the desires of our sinful flesh. We are no longer to allow the sinful desires and urges of our fleshly soul control our mind and thereby prove that our mind is carnal. But instead, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit and to actively work in putting down the desires and urges of our fallen nature, thereby proving that our mind is no longer carnal, but is now spiritual, and that we are truly the sons or daughters of God. So you can see that all these verses plainly reveal to us that after God has planted within your inner self a new and a right spirit, then what are you to do? You are to actively and earnestly work to preserve this new spirit within you by changing your past ways and habits, breaking up the things that you used to love to do, and to no longer allow yourself to go back to living in your old, unconverted experience. You are to deny and crucify your flesh and all of these inner urges and desires of your fallen sinful nature, and instead walk in the Holy Spirit, following His leading, keeping all of God's commandments, and thus cleanse yourself from all filthiness to become righteous and holy. So that's what we're to do, dear ones. We're to go to work in harmony and in unison with God, who's working in us to cleanse us and to do of His good pleasure. So we're not just to sit back and let God do it all. We're to go to work actively, working in harmony with what God is doing in us. So then, since our spirit or soul is made up of our emotions, our conscience, motives, and purposes for living, then exactly how are we to crucify self? How are we to deny our flesh? How are we to actively work in harmony with God in keeping the righteousness of His law in our life? What practical things can you do to no longer follow your fleshly urges and desires of your fallen sinful nature, so that you can instead do the will of God, working in harmony with Him in this process of cleansing your inward man or your inward woman from all filthiness of the spirit? Well, let us take some time to investigate into some of the practical ways in which we can cleanse our soul that is found recorded in God's instruction book, or the Bible. And we'll begin first with the subject of our emotions. If you look at quote number 3, God created every human being with emotions. These emotions include calmness, or its opposite emotion, which is anger. So these emotions include calmness or anger, love or hate, passion or detachment, contentment or envy, trusting or jealous. These emotions include kindness or hurtfulness, happiness or sadness, courage or timidity, piteous or cruel, humble or proud, bold or cautious, patient or impatient. These emotions include being relaxed or nervous, hopeful or despairing, respectful or disrespectful, and the list continues on. Each one of us will have emotions that will range from the more noble emotions, such as love, trust, kindness, and courage, to the least noble emotions, which are hatred, envy, hurtfulness, and pride. And whatever emotions we have will vary in strength and intensity. Some will be weak, some will be strong. They will vary. Now, once we have chosen to serve God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and this cleansing process has begun in us with a new spirit being planted within us, God's law being written there, then each of us will need to actively work in cultivating and strengthening the best and most noble of our emotions, while avoiding the less noble emotions. So build up that which is good within you, and not allow that which is bad to be built up, but to weaken. But we cannot totally eliminate these less noble emotions within us, because even these have their purpose and place in our lives. For instance, the emotion of hatred is not always wrong for a Christian to indulge in. God tells in Psalms 97, verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. So hatred is not always bad for the Christian. We're to hate evil. In Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, or the false mouth, do I hate. In Amos 5:15, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto whom? Will be gracious unto the remnant. That's you and me, dear ones. That's God's people in the last days of Earth's history. The remnant. What are we to do? We're to hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in all our gates. And then the Lord will be gracious unto the remnant. So even though hatred is one of the less noble emotions, yet it even has its place in the life of the Christian. Proper place. Also, the emotion of disrespect is not always wrong for a Christian to indulge in. In Genesis 4, verses 4 to 5, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. In other words, it was disrespect. In Psalms 40, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So even disrespect has a proper place in the life of the Christian. So I believe you can see that even these less noble emotions have their place in our lives, and thus are not always wrong for a Christian to indulge in, of course, only at the proper times. But even the more noble emotions can be wrong at times to indulge in. For instance, in Amos 3, verse 2, it talks about some professed followers of God were being rebuked because they chose to hate the good and love the evil. So they were rebuked because they were doing just the opposite of what should have been done with their emotions. So then even the most noble of our emotions, such as love, can become twisted and indulged in improperly. So as all of this is true, I hope you can see that each and every one of God's followers need to carefully guard our emotions and to only indulge in them when it is proper to do so and when it is in harmony with God's will. This means that we must be in control over all our emotions and not to allow any of these to be in control of us. And what is to control the emotions of our soul as these are being cleansed? What controls our emotions is our mind. It is our willpower. That is why our mind is the most important thing to cleanse first, because it is what controls every other part of us, including our soul and every emotion. But if we instead allow our soul through its emotions to control us, then there will be no stability at all in our life. We will become a very easy prey for Lucifer to conquer, and will soon make shipwreck of our faith and will be lost, because we have no anchor that firmly connects us to the immovable rock, Christ Jesus. We're told in Proverbs 25, verse 28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit, his own emotions, is like a city that is broken down and without walls." How easy is it to conquer a city without walls? You just walk right in and take it. So if we don't control our emotions, then we allow Satan ready access to our soul. Also in James 1, verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So then, as this is true, exactly how do we go about controlling all of our emotions so that they can be cleansed? Now, we don't have the time to examine each and every one of our emotions. I'll leave that study to you because it is extremely important to be done. But we don't have time here to examine each and every one. But I do want to spend some time investigating into two specific emotions that are most often the cause of a whole lot of problems in the life of God's followers, and thus are the most needed emotions to be controlled and cleansed. And what do you think are these two problematic emotions? These emotions are anger, as well as love, which includes affection and passion. So let us spend some time investigating into these two emotions and see what practical ways we can control these and cleanse these and no longer allow these to control us. And we'll start with the emotion of anger. If you look at quote number 4, "Anger is one of the most volatile of all emotions. But is all anger wrong for the followers of God to indulge in?" And the answer is no. In Matthew 5, verse 22, "But I," or Jesus, "say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." In Matthew 3, verse 5, "And when he," or Jesus, "had looked round about on them," which were the Pharisees, "with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts." So then, even Christ manifested the emotion of anger at the proper time. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So these verses show that not all anger is a sin to indulge in. Some anger is permitted for a Christian, but it should be controlled. And even when it is indulged, it should not be allowed to remain for very long. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's not a very long time. Less than a day. So some anger is indeed permitted for the Christian to indulge in, but it must be controlled and not allowed to last very long. But by far, the great majority of the manifestation of this emotion of anger is mixed up with selfishness. And being mixed with selfishness turns it into a sin for any Christian to indulge in it. This type of anger that centers in self is most commonly manifested through our words. And these words at times may also include cursing and swearing. And when this type of anger occurs in us, our spirit is no longer in harmony with God and the cleansing work that's going on in us. And with our soul now positioned against God, then God is dethroned from our soul. And without God being there to rule in us, we have no divine power or strength to continue the cleansing process, and thus it stops. So if we indulge in this type of selfish anger, then we're actually positioning our soul against God, we're dethroning Him from our heart, and the cleansing process immediately stops in our lives. In Job 15, verses 12 to 13, why doth thine heart carry thee away, that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? In Proverbs 14, verses 16 to 17, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Job 5, verse 2. For wrath killeth the foolish man. In Matthew 5, verses 34 to 37, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. So let it be yes or no instead of swearing. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So we're not to allow this type of selfish anger to rule in us to the point that it controls our mind and we then speak out words that are not proper for a Christian to say. Because if we do so, then Christ has been dethroned off our heart, self has taken His place, and we're no longer being cleansed, but we're being made more filthy. And if any of us should commit sin by angrily speaking any unchristian words, then let us fully realize what we have done. And then let us humbly repent for doing so. Let's not try to lessen our guilt by making it appear that we simply misspoke or made a simple mistake so that we can avoid having to repent for it. Because if we try to find some excuse to placate our sin, then we are actually choosing to live in sin. And we are also placing upon ourselves the additional sin of lying. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6, we're told, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?" So if we've committed sin by speaking wrong words, let us fully and freely repent of it, not try to cover it up, because we can't fool God. And then in Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So whatever's in the heart is going to come out in the words. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So even if we spoke by mistake, we still need to repent of it, because by our words we will be either justified or condemned, because they're spoken from the heart. You look at quote number 5. So, as we all desire to work in co-partnership with God in the cleansing of the improper form of this emotion of anger in our soul, then what are some practical ways in which we can exercise control over this particular emotion and thus prevent it from wrongly being manifested in our words? What are some practical things that we can do? In Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." How hard is it to take a city? It depends on how strong it is. But if we just will be slow to anger and will control this part of our spirit, this emotion, we are greater than he that taketh a city. In James 1, verses 19 to 20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So be swift to hear what someone is telling you, instead of just assuming you know and then reacting. Be swift to hear, but slow to speak." Romans 12:14. "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." So what's another way we can overcome anger? By not cursing our enemies, but instead blessing them. And if we will just do these things and indeed control our emotion of anger as well as the words we speak before we speak them, then we can indeed become perfect. In James 3, verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle how much of the body? The whole body. So if we do these things and indeed gain control over this most volatile of our emotions, which is anger, then by doing so we've learned the process of how to gain control and rule over all other problem areas in our life. Just by overcoming anger, we've learned how to overcome every other problem area. And thus, we will be enabled to become fully cleansed and perfect. But if we will not do these things and will not control our anger, then it will definitely control our mind and body, and we will find ourselves speaking hot and fiery words that we never intended. And these will indeed cause us all kinds of problems. In James chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, and then 8 to 13. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame, of course, without God's divine power. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So if we could just control the emotion of anger and the words that we speak, just as a small rudder is able to turn a giant ship whithersoever it wants it to go, so then if we control our tongue through the divine strength and grace God gives us, then our whole body will also be turned into performing God's will in our lives. But we must actively work to control and cleanse our emotion of anger if we truly want to be saved. And in doing so, we will have taken a gigantic step forward in this process of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit in co-partnership with God. If we can control what we say, then we'll be able to also control the rest of our body. That is a gigantic step forward in this process of cleansing. If you look at quote number 6, Now, for those who have problems with a hot temper and are quick to speak angry words, then how can you follow God's word by curbing and controlling and ruling over and cleansing this intense emotion so that you can indeed accustom yourself to becoming slow to anger, slow to speaking, and then only speaking words of blessing and not cursing to those who made you mad? How can you control this volatile emotion? God tells you how in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. What are you to do? Ask for help, and God will give the Holy Spirit to you and all the divine power you need to obey him, to control your anger and your words. In Acts 5, verse 32, the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And in James 4, verses 6 to 8 and verse 10, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You'll be able to stand against this emotion of anger and not speak hot, fiery words. If you'll just go to God, you no longer have to fall down before this emotion, but you can stand in the strength of God against it. So then when you first feel the emotion of anger rising up in your soul, recognize what is occurring and do not allow it to control your mind and then your body. But instead, humbly and quickly send a prayer to God, asking him to send you the Holy Spirit with the right amount of divine grace and strength that you need to resist this emotion. After doing so, then you must submit yourself to do the will of God and not your own desire, and actively resist this emotion of anger in faith by refusing to allow it to be manifested in your words or actions. Keep your mouth shut. Don't allow it to say any words. And don't speak at all until this emotion is no longer riled up in you. So instead of you drawing nigh to this emotion and letting it control you, use your mental willpower to draw nigh to God and let him control you. Instead of allowing self to speak hot, fiery words that will be a curse to all who hear them, use your mental willpower to follow God's word of instruction. And in faith, remain silent, or only speak proper words that will be a blessing. In doing these things, you are actively working in co-partnership with God in cleansing and purifying your soul in this particular area. And as with God, all things are possible, So then together with God, you will gain a precious victory over your anger, and thus will cleanse your soul more in this process of sanctification. So it's possible, dear ones, with God. So work with Him in this co-partnership, and you'll be able to overcome anger. And then in overcoming anger, you'll be able to overcome every other problem area in your life. Anger is the biggest one. And all the rest will be easier if you first conquer anger. So, dear ones, these simple steps that's been outlined above will enable you to overcome your anger and gain the victory through Christ, which strengthens you to do it. And what were these simple steps that was outlined in James? The first was, recognize that you are getting angry. The next step, the second step, was pray a humble and quick prayer to God for help. What was the next step, the third step? Submit yourself to follow God and obey His word. And what was the last step, the fourth step? Resist the inner urges towards allowing the anger to be manifested in your words or actions by using God's divine strength and grace in faith to instead overcome the anger. So these simple four steps, recognize, pray, submit, resist. These four simple steps of RPSR, recognize, pray, submit, resist, will indeed enable you to gain the victory over this emotion of improper anger. And what's even better is that these same four steps can also be used to gain the victory over all other problem areas in your soul. Recognize, pray, submit, resist will enable you to gain the victory. So then, by controlling anger and your words in faith that God is working in you, you can indeed be able to bridle the whole body and will be able to gain control and cleanse all other problem areas in your life because you're working in co-partnership with God in this cleansing process. So I believe that you can now see that these four simple steps, RPSR, recognize, pray, submit, resist, are actually the key to cleansing your entire soul from all filthiness so that you can actually become purified and sanctified and fit for our holy Godhead to dwell in you as their temple. God is still our miracle-working Father, and He is still working miracles of cleansing you and me and all of His followers around the world from being in the control of Lucifer to now being under the control of Jesus Christ. Miracles are still taking place, and you can be part of those miracles by recognizing when you're being tempted, recognizing when the wrong form of emotions are coming up in your soul, pray to God for help, submit your will to do the will of God, and then resist hand in hand with Christ, using his divine grace and strength to not give in to the temptation, to the emotion, and commit sin, but instead do the will of God. Put it down. Crucify it. Don't allow it to come back alive, and you will gain the victory through Christ which strengthens you. So that's examining this emotion of anger. Next time, we'll examine and investigate into the emotion of love, including affection and passion. And how do we overcome the wrong form of love, affection, and passion? By following these same four steps. Recognize, pray, submit, resist. So next time we'll look into the emotion of love, including affection and passion. And may God help each and every one of us in this new week, after the Sabbath is over, to practice these steps, to allow God to work in us, to will and to do of His good pleasure, and indeed control the emotions of our soul. Our closing song is entitled, Soldiers of Christ Arise. And the link is lightministries.com/ID1939.htm. Soldiers of Christ Arise, and we are indeed in a battle against our flesh. So let us arise in the strength of Christ and conquer.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through His eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts, and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts, is more than conqueror. Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endued. But take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, ye may o'ercome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well for day. Still let the Spirit cry in all His soldiers, come. Till Christ the Lord who reigns on high shall take the conquerors home.
Amen. Amen. And please bow your heads, and I invite you to kneel for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for making possible our salvation, for being willing to connect yourselves with us, and in co-partnership, in union with us, gain the victory through us. And thank you so much for doing so. Please help us remember these four steps that we may utilize them and be able to gain the victory through Christ in us, which strengthens us to do the will of God. Because with the miracle-working God in us, then all things are possible through Him. Thank you so much for making the plan of salvation effectual in us. Thank you for sending us your Spirit to lead and guide and comfort us, giving us the divine strength and grace from above to perform your will and not our own. And thank you, Father and our Savior, for taking up your abode in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, and ruling there so that we might indeed become saved. Please continue to be with us, especially in this after church service, because this is some of the most uplifting times that we can partake of as we encourage one another and sing praises to Thee and uplift each other's heart to be valiant in the warfare and to keep our eyes focused upward on Jesus Christ so that we might become more like Him as each day passes and thus gain more holiness and righteousness and possibly reach the point while we still live to be translated to heaven without seeing death, to become part of that 144,000 special group. Help us to strive to this end, and all the while looking up so that we might live. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name and for His sake, amen.
I would like to share a psalm, a hymn, sorry. It's hymn 532, Day by Day. Day by day, unwearied thoughts and moments, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father, wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, even to each day while he sees there, loving in his heart is pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for His showers. All my cares He finds will care and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He lays. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust the promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith with consolation. Offer me within Thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toils and trouble meet Him, yet to take us from a Father's hand. One by one, the day, the moment fleeing, till I reach the promised land.
I just wanted to ask kind of a question in a way, but it's about this anger thing. And it appears to me, and please help me to have greater understanding, because I really need that. But it appears to me that anger has some sub-layers to it that may not come out all the time in a very forceful kind of way. I bring to mind, like, bitterness, I believe, is like a sub-thing of anger, and resentment, I think, can tend to have its tie in that person being angry, because I believe anger comes also from someone having been wounded in some kind of way, or believe that they've been wounded in some kind of way, and therefore anger shows itself. But I don't believe it always shows itself so forcefully at all times. Even pouting and shuffling about at times shows a form of anger, I believe. But I think that even when we were speaking of Cain and Abel's situation last night, early Sabbath, Cain was very angry. He was also very bitter and resentful and jealous. And I believe that those different layers tie themselves inside of that anger. And his was a wrong anger. He didn't have a right to be angry at all. And unfortunately, I tend to find, and I speak to myself first, that when there are times when I found myself angry at things, I know the Lord has shown me on more than a few different occasions that I really didn't have a right to be angry at whatever the situation was, and for whatever a person had said or whatever had occurred. I really had not the right to be angry. If I were discomforted, that's one thing. But when we allow ourselves to become angry too often times, as it was stated in the this wonderful study, it's much more out of selfishness than anything else. Most times, the anger that we in our flesh, because it's usually all about our flesh, that we become angry. And then if we wish to try and subdue it and present ourselves in a way to where we don't want to appear angry, we're still fostering some sort of bitterness or some sort of resentment or some sort of loathing of some kind to the person that we believe has either offended us, real or imagined. And I just tend to believe that in this whole issue of anger, which is really, it's a fantastic study, and I really want to take this deeply to heart all the way through, that many people have found themselves in the end, or will find themselves in the end, quite destroyed because of the anger that they still nurtured deep in their heart, but yet they did not display to anyone else around them. They still had it. They still coveted it. They kept it. It's like regarding it in their heart. Amen. And it eats like a cancer. It eats away, and it will come out in one form or another. Even as the Lord had been angry at the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, the spirit that they carried is what angered him. And unfortunately, that's what we at times can find ourselves carrying if we're not careful. We'll carry that same kind of spirit, or we'll behave in certain ways that will cause someone else to be rightly angry and justly angry at our behavior of what we have done. We will have a holy anger, because it's not so much that they are really coming against us in any kind of way, but they are coming against the holiness of God and his work and his doings for the salvation of others. They are hindering the work of God. So therefore, you know, there is a certain time, even as it was said in your study, there's a right time for anger, but too often there's a wrong time for anger when it comes to our flesh. I think it's very important that we need to take a look at if we, you know, if anyone is angry, we need to really take a look at why, even as you had brought up, dear brother, you know, and seek the Lord's guidance and his wisdom to help us to see and face why are we angry? Why are we bitter? Why do we feel like we were offended? Because many times when a person is offended, I speak to myself even first, many times when I was offended about something, I look back on it later on, and it was really much of nothing to be offended about at all. It was something that may have been brought to my attention, but I didn't like the taste of it at that time. I just didn't want to hear that at that time. And I've gone through that on many different occasions in my life. And I found myself quite offended. And then I began to be angry because I kind of stewed on that being offended. Then I got resentful. Then I got bitter. Then I'd go ahead, and when I would be with that person or talk with that person, I would be sarcastic or I would be rude. I put on a false front. And all of that was stemming from this anger that I got from an offense that really wasn't offensive at all. It was something brought to me that I really needed to hear and I needed to know so that for the good of my own self, I would walk better or be a better child or be a better young person or adult as I grew older. It's something to, I feel, really consider, because unfortunately, if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to truly bring to our attention, not out of, you know, we think we have all the answers, but truly humble ourselves, even as you had stated in your study, dear brother, become humble before the Lord in our request to help me, Lord, with this anger, help me with this, and to help give me the wisdom so that I can truly understand this. And then let me go ahead and do that, give me strength to obey it. If we don't do that, we will delude ourselves. Because if we are harboring that anger and bitterness and resentment and loathing against anyone, are we really walking with the Lord at that time? Can we really say that we are on safe ground at that time if that's what we're doing? Can we say that? If we are walking with unconfessed sin in our heart, are we safe? If the Holy Spirit has brought numerous people to us to encourage us to repent of the sinful way in which we have either behaved or spoken or acting in our life, and we justify it to ourselves, are we safe? No, we're not going to be safe at all. So that's why when it comes down to all these, this major issue, and it really, what a beautiful study. This thing of anger, it has so many little tentacles. So many different little, it's like a jellyfish, that huge floating in the water with all of its tentacles flapping around, flapping around, flapping around, hitting anything in its path, stinging it, paralyzing it, so that it can consume it later on. That's what anger can do in one person to those around them. It will affect everyone around them. But the person itself, though, when it comes to this kind of anger and sin, the person himself doesn't even understand that they're dying in their sin. They've already justified why they can do it. They're dying in their sin. So that's why I feel it's very important. This whole study on anger has a deep, deep, deep issue. And it can be very, very subtle. So if we are going to harbor bitterness, we are going to harbor resentment, we are going to feel that we have been so grossly offended that forgiveness is not even reachable from us towards the person whom we either think offended us or did offend us, and we can love them with a godly Christian love, not with a different face in one part and another face on another part, but truly love them with a godly, merciful love, then we lie to ourselves and the truth is not in us. And it will not matter how many words we speak or how much we think we know. If we can't do the basic of forgiving and loving and letting go of that kind of anger and resentment, then I do not know how we can say we are standing on the promises of Christ our King. We cannot claim the blood promise like that. We cannot do it. We will fool ourselves. It's very, very important. I cannot press it hard enough, I do not believe. If we cherish even the smallest portion, I believe, dear Brother Rob, you brought that up even last night. We hold on to 99%, even if Cain had done 99% of the sacrifice, but he didn't accomplish that one portion, he still did not obey the Lord in all things. So it is with those of us who we feel we've been so wounded, we feel we've been so hurt, we feel we've been so dejected, rejected, offended, and we are harboring, nurturing that resentment deep in our little pocket of our mind, and instead of showing forth the love of Jesus Christ that was shown forth to us in such abundant forgiveness that we can pour forth bowels of compassion and love and grace to whomever it may have been that wounded us, real or imagined, if we can't do that, we have no understanding about the love of Jesus Christ. It is just all form. It's all churchianity. It's all about head knowledge and being able to speak a whole bunch of things that are very knowledgeable, but without any application of it at all. And that's not what we need. That's why this whole study right here about anger, it's really, really, really deep. And it, dear brother, I thank the living God He placed it on your heart to bring, because I have strong convictions in areas I need to really pay better attention to, and I need to get them in order. But at the same time, I will not allow that to hold my mouth shut from saying what I needed to say, because these are things that need to be heard. Bitterness, anger, resentment, and they go hand in hand. Loathing, disrespect. Oh, my lands. Not giving holy respect to those who are elders in the faith. That is a gross disrespect unto God, and it's rebellion. And anger is rebellion if it's not godly. So if we are harboring all these things and we try to justify in our own mind why we have to feel that way, because we were so wounded, we were so hurt, it does not matter. In the end, we must give it all to the Lord, and we must trust Him fully, and we must forgive and move on. And we ourselves, when we are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, must repent of our own arrogance and our own selfishness and apologize. And that's what we must do. And then the Lord is glorified. And we will grow abundantly in grace.
Thank you, dear brother. I was just going to mention that when God says to not let the sun go down upon your wrath, in other words, don't remain angry for long, there's a very important reason why. And you were talking about resentment and bitterness and so on. All of those type of things keep the anger boiling within you. Even though you may suppress it, it's still there. So you haven't let the wrath go. It's still within. But there's a very important reason why God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to sleep with it. Don't let it rise in you the next day and so on. It's because any emotions, especially anger, causes the release of chemicals in our body. And these chemicals are necessary to make us prepared to act upon the emotion, whichever it is. There's powerful chemicals that affect our body depending on what emotion we allow to control us, or whether it's a good or a bad emotion, okay? Whether it's proper or improper. These chemicals have their place. We were created by God for the release of these chemicals depending on what emotion it is. With the emotion of anger, the chemicals that are released work in a negative way on the cells of our bodies. And if we allow the anger to fester, these chemicals are continuing to be released on a daily basis. And thus, they work to degrade the health of our body. They work to destroy or hinder the cellular functions over a period of time. So while in the beginning, when they were released, they served their purpose. But if we continue to allow that emotion of anger to fester, these chemicals begin to cause our body to degrade and to become more susceptible to disease and sickness, and will eventually lead us down the road to death, physically. I'm not talking about spiritually here, physically. That's why we're told in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It builds your body up. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones. It leads to the decay of your body and destruction. So even in the proper indulgence in anger, that's proper to do, we're counseled not even to allow that to remain very long, and especially don't go to bed with it that way. So I just wanted to share that other little part in with the dangers of allowing anger to fester and to grow and turn into bitterness and everything else connected with it. Because it leads to your physical degradation and ruin because of the chemicals that are released. So indeed, if it's proper anger, then indulge in it. But when you're done indulging in it, let it go. Don't let it fester. Give it to God. Let God take care of the situation, and He most definitely will. So I just wanted to add that little point.
Bringing a supernatural element into human nature. The soul that is yielded to Christ becomes His own fortress, which He holds in a revolted world, and He intends that no authority shall be known in it but His own. A soul thus kept in possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of Satan. And that's a blessing, that a soul thus kept in possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of Satan. But unless we do yield ourselves to the control of Christ, we shall be dominated by the wicked one. We must inevitably be under the control of the one or the other of the two great powers that are contending for the supremacy of the world. So there's no middle ground. It is not necessary for us deliberately to choose the service of the kingdom of darkness in order to come under its dominion. We have only to neglect or ally ourselves with the kingdom of light. If we do not cooperate with the heavenly agencies, Satan will take possession of the heart and will make it his abiding place. The only defense against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in His righteousness. Unless we become vitally connected with God, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of self-love, self-indulgence, and temptation to sin. We may leave off many bad habits for the time we may part company with Satan, but without a vital connection with God, through the surrender of ourselves to Him moment by moment, we shall be overcome. Without a personal acquaintance with Christ and a continual communion, we are at the mercy of the enemy. We shall do his bidding in the end. So let us pray for one another that we will continually submit ourselves to the Lord moment by moment, and that we will ask him to help us to incorporate these four steps, that we will recognize the emotion of anger immediately, and that we will dot a prayer humbly to heaven, that we will submit ourselves to the Lord and resist the temptation. May God bless all of you.
Amen, Sister Louise. Amen. And I just want to sing the scripture that you just said. And it's submit yourself, dear folk, to God. Resist the devil, and he resists from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse yourself, ye sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Change up the four, verse 7 and 8. Amen, and Sabbath blessings to all. Amen. Great God.
Amen. Beautiful song, Sister Sheila, and happy Sabbath to you, too. There's a song that I would like to sing, praising God. I do thank him for being alive in these last days to glorify and serve him. The song is called Face to Face with Christ, My Savior. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing in his presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory,
I shall see him, I am I. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
That was so beautiful, Brother Sean. That is a beautiful song to be able to learn. We would like to sing the hymn 590, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He shed on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and we're all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, not a fear, not a sigh, not a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil He does richly repay. Not a grief, not a loss, not a frown, not a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the light of His love, and to all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, and the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He said we will do, where He said we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Hello. I wanted to say sing the song. The first song I wanted to sing, Mom ended up singing it, and she didn't know. And I think it was God's blessing that it was sang today, because she sang it. And then I came into the room, and I was like, wow, because that was the Holy Spirit. And I guess our hearts were connected. But I want to sing another song, okay? It's a Bible verse, and it goes like this. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from the presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and renew thy spirit within me. Amen. Oh, and then I want to sing another song. The way of the wicked is so sadness. They know what I want, they stumble. But the path of the justice has a shining light, that shining more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:19-18. And this is where we meet, and we follow God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen, and thank you. There's a scripture song that I would like to sing. This is Psalms 50, verse 15. And this is actually what I refer to as God's phone number. Whenever you're in trouble, whenever there's something that is trying to overcome you, some temptation or sin or emotion, remember this verse. Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalms 50:15. So remember God's phone number, and you'll have an instant connection to the throne on high, and He will deliver thee, and then you'll be able to glorify Him in your life and also in praises to Him afterwards.
I have another song. It goes like this. Greater love had no man than this. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Psalms 50:15. Greater love. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea are moving, but to shut the haven together. What manner of man is this? Amen. I have one more too. It goes like this. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Be
have another song that I would like to praise the Lord with. It is Psalms 48, 1 and 2. And it goes like this. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? Psalms 48, 1 and 2.
I just remember another song. It's a Bible verse. It goes like this. I remember his brother Sean was singing. Even brother Sean. It goes like this. Great is thy fame, be it unto thee, even as I will. Great is thy fame, be it unto thee, even as I will. Matthew 15:28. Great is thy fame, be it unto thee, even as I will. Great is thy fame, be it unto thee, even as I will. Matthew 15:28.
Well, there's one more that I would like to present before the Lord and you all. This is James 3:17, and it goes like this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3:17.
I know another one. It goes like this. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
This scripture song is found in Jonah, Chapter 2, verses 2, 7, and 9. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Into thine holy temple, but I will sacrifice unto thee. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:2-9.
This scripture song was taken from John 14:21, 23, and 24. It says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love them, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
Are there any other songs or any other testimonies or questions or comments that you'd like to give before we close, dear ones? Please feel free to do so.
I can sing you another one. It's one of my favorites, and it's in Deuteronomy. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of his law. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of his law. Deuteronomy 29:29. Amen. God bless you. Hugs and kisses to everyone. Love you all. Bye.
Dear ones, I want to thank you all for coming and fellowshipping with our home church. Thank you so much for your songs and comments and unity. It is truly a blessing to be part of this group. And I thank you for also being part of it as well. In closing, I'd like to sing one last scripture song. It's found in Genesis 31, verse 49. The Lord watch between me and thee, when we are absent one from another. The Lord watch between me and thee. The Lord watch between me and thee. Genesis 31:49. And indeed, dear ones, may the Lord watch between me and thee. May his face shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in this new coming week, until we're able to meet back together again and worship our God in love and unity, in spirit and in truth. So may God bless, dear ones, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.